Instagram the other day that it feels a little bit like one of like a book or a movie where it sort of takes place out of time. Like it's not like there's not like a designated like, oh, it's the Nixon era. Do you know what I mean? Like I feel like because we haven't really named it and because it's still sort of in the works, I just feel like it's like outside of the stylographic canon, which actually gives me a lot less stress than like agita about it.
Yeah, we get to be a little more free.
Yeah, we're just having fun. So I want to get right into it. There's actually less like of the moment stuff I want to talk about this week.
Okay.
So just fair warning, this is going to get like really deep really fast.
Whoa. Okay, great. Evergreen deepness.
The deepest of evergreen content.
Okay.
Although all that said, now I'm about to tell you it's based on something that went up on the site this week. So
okay, cool.
Take that for what you will. But basically we talked about the idea of like, do you dress up for yourself? Do you dress up for other people? Do you use positive feedback as reinforcement for making an effort? And I'll admit that I think I put something up kind of hastily about that. And my take was basically whatever makes you feel encouraged to keep going in like your personal journey of self-improvement is a good thing. And then someone in the comments mentioned that like relying too much on external feedback can be just as damaging as like putting yourself on a negative like self-talk loop. So I admit that it's a lot more nuanced than just, hey, when a girl gives me compliments, then I'm going to, you know, wear another collared shirt tomorrow. Like, I know it's more nuanced than that, but I'm curious what you think.
My gosh, you are kind of starting deep, but I think, I know, and maybe it's not the best thing ever, but I for sure rely on positive feedback from other people, and I use that to help inform, sort of my like collective thought about myself. I think I try to keep it as internal as I can and get the good vibes that I need from doing things that like I in my, you know, in my heart and soul feel like bring me joy, make me feel successful, give me confidence. But I also feel like whatever, I'm a sucker for a compliment. I'm a sucker for positive reinforcement from people in all areas, dressing, especially, I don't know, all this weird fitness that I've been doing this week, which has really been a big step for me, you guys. I went to 2 fitness classes this week, 2, and both of them were really, really hard.
So hard. I only went to 1 with you, but of the 1, I am still recovering.
Yeah, and so, but it was great to have the, like, positive reinforcement of my muscles hurting so much for days and days and days this week, and from the people teaching the classes, and from you, and from the people that were with me, like, yeah, like, wasn't that fun? Like, don't you feel good? And you did a good job, and I was like, I did do a good job, and then I felt good about myself, so.
That's sort of what I ended up, where I came down, because, I mean, I probably think about this both more than a lot of people, but then also I maybe see the results of positive feedback so often in terms of with our readers that I just like believe in it intrinsically and don't think it's a bad thing, that almost in some ways I don't think about it enough in terms of the negative or the downside of a positive feedback. So for me it was like a real mind bender that someone was kind of like, but maybe you end up relying too much on people's positive feedback to the point that you're only getting dressed well for other people. And I think that people listening to the podcast can't see this, but like people that are watching us on Instagram stories notice that we're both wearing crew neck sweatshirts right now.
Crew neck sweatshirts.
So like, and like, I feel great. I love this sweatshirt. But like, I'm not wearing this because other people think I look hot in it. Like,
no.
Like, I definitely don't dress like sexy in a very, like, that's a very generalized true statement about me. But then when I do, then that's when I get the positive reinforcement. Duh, of course. But what's really interesting is like that doesn't change my habits. Like I like dressing sexy every now and again, and then I like dressing like this, like comfortable but like pulled together just as much. So I think for me, maybe it's just that that's not a problem for me. Like I'm not someone who needs that sort of feedback to make the effort. Like I'm going to make the effort when I want, and then I'm going to make the effort, but just in different ways when I want. Cause I still think I look really cute today.
Yeah.
But it's not.
I think you look cute too.
Thanks, Taylor. Okay. All right. I guess I didn't need the feedback. But do you see what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I do.
Just in the same way that for some people, like they're really easily triggered by food or by their parents or whatever, whereas other people aren't. Like, it's just, we all have really different relationships to, like, the stuff that is external in our lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and I think it's interesting, too, because I think for women, too, there's a difference between feeling like you look, like someone saying, oh, you look really nice, or being like, whoa, you look hot and sexy. My prime example of this is when we went to the polo match this summer, and you guys may have caught some of the, like, multitudes of hot takes of content because we drank a lot of champagne and we're, like, really having a fun time, but we both also, like, wore these, like, really fun, dare I say, super fucking sexy dresses from Rent the Runway.
the shit brought you by Rent the Runway.
Yeah, and, like, Meg and I have really different body types, but we both were, like, showing a lot of boob, basically. Like, my dress was, like, really low like this. My boobs are small and they were kind of smashed, but it was, like, a lot of skin. And Megan was wearing more of, like, a bustier kind of, like, 50s pinup dress. It was, like, really fitted. And both of us got so much positive feedback from people during the day. And, like, it was hard for, I, like, don't show a lot of skin a lot of times. You don't really either, like, but when you do, it's a whole different kind of feedback, I would say, than, like, oh, like, from a woman or a coworker or something being like, oh, I love this cool blouse you're wearing at work today, versus like, dang, like, you look hot.
Yeah.
So there's, for women, I think there's a little bit of a difference between.
Sure. And I guess maybe that's something I think about too, is this idea that for guys, there's not necessarily that, like, hey, you look sexy, versus just like, oh, hey, you look really nice and put together today. Like, hey, you look really nice and put together is pretty much the best compliment that a guy can,
like,
get.
That is sexy, right? Like, I feel like those things kind of can be the same with guys.
Right, which comes back to the idea that it's the effort that is so attractive.
Absolutely.
And so, I guess that,
except with Henleys.
Oh, that's true.
Which is the Taylor Davies special, my literal favorite thing.
Which you can't really wear to a board meeting, that's true.
No, but it is like a wonder bra for men.
I think, though, that that's why I don't see there being such a downside to men dressing up with the hope, maybe not the assumption, but the hope that women notice, and if not call them out on it and, like, mention it, at least kind of, like, look at them more approvingly or whatever it is, because it's not the same as saying, hey, you should go wear, like, a bandage dress to work, right? Like, some sexy thing. It's just saying, hey, why don't you literally put on a shirt and tie?
Yep.
Because women's, like, tongues will roll out in that, like, cartoony way.
Yeah, like, tuck your shirt in, great belt, whatever.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So maybe that's why I don't see it being so nuanced after all. Because it is different for men and women. Like, the way that women get external feedback on their clothes is generally by wearing very different clothes than what men... Or, like, there's two ways of getting external feedback when you're a woman. And for men, it's really just the one. It's like you either kind of look nice and put together or you don't.
Yeah, and I'd be curious to see if anybody watching or listening thinks that's true. Like, if guys out there say, like, if you think there's a difference between looking, like, kind of, like, sexy maybe is the word, or just like looking really put together, because, like, I mean, with guys you get the kind of, like, you can do the tight t-shirt factor, like, you know, because I think women aren't, or, like, I feel like if I see, like, once it's springtime comes and, like, guys are wearing, like, their short sleeve button down shirts, I'm like, ooh, like, look at that arm,
like all we've seen on Queer Eye, like, yes, all season tan, just tan. Like, have you thought about a short sleeve button down shirt? And then the guys are like, I hadn't. And everyone is just like, minds are blown.
Yeah, have you thought about wearing the Bonobos Riviera in every color it comes in? Because we'd all like it.
This show brought to you by the Bonobos Riviera shirt. It's true, honestly.
Yeah.
We love the Riviera. And it comes in, like, 18 different...
Ugh, it's so good.
It's great.
It's so good.
Actually, speaking of, that segues really nicely into the next topic I want to talk about. Okay. Did you read the article on The Cut this week about the idea of wearing a turtleneck on a first date?
Oh my god, no!
Oh, I put it in that line!
Sorry. I had a crazy week.
Oh my god. So I can't even remember who wrote it, maybe Allison Davis, but it was just this idea that, like, this woman has come to the realization that she has her perfect first date outfit and it's a turtleneck, and she feels, and she sort of understands that it's maybe an unexpected choice because it's not quote unquote sexy or like what a man would maybe be like hoping that she'd be revealing. But she feels really confident in it, and she feels like it kind of speaks to her personality.
Absolutely.
Like, she is someone who is sort of a pull-together, covered-up, conservative person.
Yeah, she's setting expectations also a little bit.
100%. So, I love that idea. So I'm curious, do you have like a perfect first date outfit like that you reach for again and again? And do you think that there's one that, like, that's on the bus for men that like could be like a perfect, like, yes, you might do different things on a first date, but like a generalized perfect first date outfit?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Are you ready? So this is extremely relevant content for me in this very moment, because in the last 3 weeks, I have gone on 3 first dates, and I wore the exact same outfit on all 3 of them.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. And on all 3 dates, I got asked for a second date before the night was over. Okay. So I am getting positive reinforcement and positive feedback from this outfit.
Yeah.
And my roommate and I were sort of joking. She was like, so basically, like, it's not you getting asked out, it's the outfit. Like, it's the blouse. So
it's a blouse?
So, I mean, I would...
Oh, I'm so...
Okay, let me tell you about the blouse.
Tell me about the blouse.
I'll tell you the whole outfit. So, the blouse is a crew neck, white, mm-hmm, sleeveless blouse with, like, a ruffle that goes from the shoulder just down the middle. Like, it's just, like, one ruffle, and it's, like, a silk top, so it's really, like, kind of floaty, airy. The teensiest bit sheer, so I wear, like, a little, the same color lace bra underneath that you can, like, barely see if you, like, really stare. Mm-hmm. Tuck the front into high-waisted black destroyed denim.
Perfect.
And then I have...
Define the waist.
Always gotta define the waist. With chunky-heeled black ankle boots that have, like, a 3.5-inch heel. And this is something that I do...
Explain for guys, is the 3.5-inch heel, is that a lot?
It's pretty tall. It's walkable because it's nice and thick, but it's a pretty tall... I would say 4 inches is, like, when women are wearing, like, party sandals, like, to a wedding and stuff, you're working with, like, a 4-inch heel, so it's just slightly below that.
So you're putting in the work.
I'm putting in the work. I always make an effort on the first date because even if I'm not super pumped about it, you just never know, and I always want to look good. Like, I do a full face of makeup. I always wear eyeliner. I always do my hair. I take a shower right before I go on the date and get fully ready. Mm-hmm. That evening, like, I'll come home and make time and, like, get fully ready and do my whole thing. So I get very good positive reinforcement from the same outfit. It's easy for me to reach for the same outfit, kind of, like, I feel like guys like to have that easy go-to look, and so for me, for the first date, that's what it is. A couple necklaces, or I've switched it up, I wore hoop earrings last time. So for guys, I feel like it's pretty easy. My favorite first date look would be a sort of medium wash chambray and or denim shirt, long sleeve, untucked, black slim cut jeans, and a brown shoe. Sneakers, maybe, if they're really good sneakers. Like, if you're a sneakerhead and they're cool, Stan Smith's also an option.
What about on the flip side, just like a really nice leather sneaker, like an MJemmy or something where it's sort of a...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I feel like you just want the sneakers to look like you put in a little bit of effort. So I feel like I'm pretty flexible on the footwear as long as it kind of makes the whole look put together.
Yeah, a shoe can either be sort of an exclamation point or it can be a period, and either is fine, but you just don't want, like, an ellipses. but, like, a shoe shouldn't be something that makes the outfit feel off. It should either just sort of, like low-key complete it, or be like, that's the part where it's like, oh.
Like, where you want to be like, this is where I show my personality because I'm someone who cares a lot about shoes.
Right. It's really just, don't screw the shoe up. There should be thought there.
Yeah, and it's interesting, at the last, a few first dates that I've been on, a couple guys that I've gone out with, they come right from work, and because we live in New York, a lot of these guys who work in finance or in any of those sort of, like, corporate, I've had guys come in a full suit for date one, which then... Also, that's why I dress up with a blouse on my first dates, because sometimes if the guy comes in a suit, you don't want to, like,
look too
roll in wearing something super casual and then feel like it's really unbalanced. Like, this summer I dated a guy who always came from work and always was wearing a suit, and so, like, I was, like, putting on the Ritz. Like, and we went on, like, 3 or 4 dates, and, like, every time I was like, okay, here I go. I have to put on a little heel. It was the summer. I was wearing a little dress. Like, it was a whole, like, because we would, I wanted us to look good.
Yeah.
Together.
Yes.
And we did. But then he ghosted, so.
Right, but yes, you would have looked like you were his little sister or something if you showed up.
Yeah, I wanted the effort to match, even though he was sort of, like, coming off of, work and kind of would joke with me that this was, like, not his personal style at all. I wanted to sort of match the energy of his look.
Do you want to talk about dating app pictures?
Yeah.
Do you want to?
Yeah, really badly.
Okay.
Really badly.
All right.
We can do it quickly. I feel like we can...
No, you know what? It's fine. All right. So, because I pay attention to the outline...
I saw that was on the outline. I just didn't see that you added the article from the cut.
I know that you want quite badly to talk about dating app pictures.
Yeah, I do.
So, talk to me, Taylor.
Okay, so I'm on the swiping apps. I'm very actively using them. And I feel like I've developed is what I meant to say, a little bit of a spidey sense about guys based on their photos. I feel like I'm getting much, much better at figuring out who people are based on what their pics are. Do you want me to talk about things I like or things I don't like?
Let's start with things you like, and then please frame the things you don't like as tips for what to avoid.
Okay. Keep it positive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, no, we're not here to nag and we're not here to bring people down because truly I think also the nature of dating apps can be... It's
such a grind.
Yeah, it's a grind and it can be really degrading to feel like you've been reduced to a bunch of pictures and people putting their fingers all over them. So what do I like? I love a smile. Like, I think just a great smile in your first photo that's just of you is like... And I think you'll read this anywhere if you Google... dating app picture tips, it'll be like a picture just of you smiling, facing forward. They say like body language is really important. Like if you're sort of facing forward more open, people like that more. You're like people are more receptive to it rather than looking closed off. Me personally, because I am kind of outdoorsy and I'm seeking to meet someone who like when we leave New York will like go do outdoorsy things. I like seeing pictures of people hiking, skiing, not snowboarding because I don't snowboard. And
I mean, you can go skiing with a snowboarder, can't you? Is that really a knock for you?
It's tough on the chairlift. Because they're all wonky getting off the chairlift. It's easier if they're all together. Like, stay in your lane. Which is not to say, if there's not a beautiful snowboarder out there who thinks that I'm a dreamboat, we can make it work. We can ride on separate chairs and just text each other on the way up the chair.
There you go.
Yeah.
Look at that, you're already making it work.
Everything will be fine. I'm all about compromise, because I'm an adult woman.
So the outdoorsiness is important to you. So...
But that's like, and that's like a personal thing. But I would say I like photos that are clear, photos that show maybe that you like to travel. And I think photos later on with friends to show that you like
have friends.
I guess that's like sort of important. But I think the key with dating app photos is to sort of give the range, like show that you've got the range. Do you like, and show what you like to do. Do you like to go like... be at bars with your friends? Do you like to travel? Do you like to be outdoors? Or are you, like, playing chess in the park with your friends? Or are you cooking? Are you a chef? Like,
Sure. I think to that point, I think it's the idea of, it's not do you have outdoorsy pictures or don't have outdoorsy pictures.
Yep.
It's make sure that you are showing, like you said, the full range of who you are. Because people are going to self-select. Like,
yeah.
If you're being a DJ on the weekends or whatever, and you have a picture of you being, like, doing your DJ stuff,
yeah.
Anyone who doesn't want to date a DJ is going to be like, my, and that's fine.
Right, because you want to take those people out of the pool because the pool of online dating is already so big that, as you said, self-selecting is helpful, not hurtful.
Yes.
Like, you don't want to catfish people and you want to bring in the people that you think you might actually have a real connection with.
Right, you wouldn't really want to waste your time on someone who you're hoping that they're outdoorsy and they didn't have any pictures that were outdoorsy, but then you get on your first date and they're like, I hate the outdoors. Like, I wish squirrels would die or whatever.
Right, like, I'm not, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think you want to show your range and kind of be truthful to who you are. And then, okay, tips that are framed in a positive way about what you don't want to see.
It's like an SAT question. Like, give three examples, use references, like, back, sort, cite your sources.
Pull up my Tinder for you guys right now and show you all the things I don't want to see.
That's another pod.
That's a pod for another day. The mirror selfie thing I see a lot, and I know that some guys, like, you live on your own, you get dressed up for something, and you're like, maybe this is going to be my only opportunity to sort of, like, show that I can, like, put on a suit or, like, put on an outfit. Just ask someone else to take the photo for you. Mirror selfies with guys, to me, it doesn't show any part of your personality, and it the same way you kind of probably would look at a woman who's like, all if all of her photos are selfies or bikini pics or like whatever, they don't show a variety and they just sort of, I don't know, they don't speak to me the right way. Blurry photos, they like, welcome to 2018. Like, every photo you take on a phone now can be clear.
Like, what are we talking about?
Like, blurry? Old photos. Like, I've just seen like a lot of guys who have like old photos that are grainy and
like a photo
pixelated.
That they took with like an old photo that's like sitting on a table and they took a photo of that.
No, blurry. I'm talking like a, probably like pulling in a Facebook photo from like 2012 that's super old and then zooming in and it's like blurry. There's no need for that now, and you shouldn't be showing pictures of yourself from a long time ago unless you literally look exactly the same. So, keep your photos current, clear, and I feel like, show the range. Things not to do, no blurry, mirror selfies are stupid, all selfies, which I've seen a lot of, only selfies makes you...
Oh, like...
Like, every photo, all five, are just selfies?
Yeah, that person's definitely a sociopath.
And, like, where's your friends?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Where's your life?
Okay.
Those are my tips. Like, be yourself. Clear photos. Show the range.
Yeah. What's the perfect first photo?
Just you, smiling, no sunglasses, fully dressed.
Explain the no sunglasses.
Want to see your eyes. And this is a thing that I work on, too, because I take a lot of pictures with sunglasses on, and that's when I think I look cute, because... there's a whole thing with sunglasses. They add symmetry to your face, so they make people look more attractive. Like, that's just something, because naturally your eyes are a little bit not quite perfectly symmetrical.
I mean, mine are, but...
Oh, good for you. Wow.
No, I'm just
kidding. Some of us have a weird lazy eye when we smile, so...
I'm kidding.
So, no sunglasses because you want to... Because sunglasses are misleading. So, always you want the first photo to be your real face, facing forward, clear... Smiling, laughing, and just you. Because the group photo is the first photo. Everybody gets confused, and without a doubt, you will be the least attractive person in that photo. It is science. So.
Taylor's Law.
Yep. It happens every time. You see the group, and you find the cute guy, and you swipe to the next photo, and you're like, it wasn't him. It was the least attractive of the bunch.
Mm, yeah. Do you think that if they're like, well, I'm in the center, and you're like, no, like, your eye goes to the... handsomest one, not the center one.
Unfortunately, yeah, you're sort of looking around. A group photo draws your eye in all these different places, and yeah, you do kind of assume maybe it's the center guy, but you want to start with just like, this is me. Here I am.
All right.
Those are my takes.
Good tips.
Thanks.
And now it's time for hot takes. Ooh. I just dropped mine in before you got here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to hear what it is.
And it's something that I... just keeps coming up this week, so I feel like it must be something that needs to be talked about.
Okay, wow.
But I had drinks with a friend the other night who I've known since college, Greek guy, married, and was, like, giving me relationship advice.
Okay.
Unsolicited.
Of course, it always is.
It was fine. It was totally fine. And he was just saying, like, Megan, like, you have to understand, like, everything else goes away. And this is someone who's, like, my age. So he's been married for, like, 2 years. And he's just like, everything else goes away, but you gotta have good banter.
Banter.
You have to, like, make each other laugh. You have to have fun together because, like, everything else gets kind of, like, normal. But if they can keep surprising you with, like, what they have to say or their take on the world, like, you're never going to get bored.
Yeah.
In the same way that you're going to get bored of, like, looking at their naked body because it keeps being the same naked body. I was kind of like, okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But the more I thought about it, like... someone who is, like, trying to be in my life right now, and I'm like, that's a really bad idea, but he's really good on text, and so we just keep texting, and, I mean, you admit it, like, you're like, I've made really bad decisions, too, romantically, because I just enjoy this person's company.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we keep coming back to this thing of texting, too, where, like, and I told you, I've had that basically, this was my problem, the guy that I dated, a guy for, like, 3 months, and then we broke up. Didn't talk for a few weeks, and then texted without ever meeting up for, like, a year. A year. And you know what? I couldn't give it up because I loved the banter.
Yeah.
And it was, like, so, like, it was, like, we were both giving each other attention, and we had, like you said, the same kind of takes on the world, and so I just, like, enjoyed the talking so much that I was making unhealthy choices again and again and again to keep up this conversation when, like, probably somewhere in the back of my head, it was holding me back from moving forward with new people because I was so, like,
hung up on the banter.
Texting.
So what it made me realize is that, like, sure, there are plenty of, like, Samanthas out there in the world, but, like, I would contend that most women lust after the B more than the D.
Here she goes.
And I don't think that that's, like, an unreasonable statement. Like, I really do actually think that. Like, I think a woman is going to think more fondly and hold, like, hang on to something that might even be slipping away because she enjoys the other person so much, even if, like, the sex isn't that good or, like, they fight all the time or whatever, whatever. Like, if a guy is just, like, fun to be around or to text with or to talk to, like, it makes up for so many sins. And so I guess my hot take this week is, like, the question of, do you think that you can develop bantering skills, or do you think it's just something you either are, like, good at or you suck at it?
I think you certainly can build your banter muscles, but I also think, oh, this is what I was going to say, it's like a chemistry thing where you'll find your banter person, right? Like, you and I have different things we're looking for in banter, and different people vibe in different ways. So, like, I, like, vibe with someone who likes to talk a lot, right? Like, that's my banter speed, is sort of, like, fast talking stories and sort of, like, a lot of, like, bop, bop, bop. Whereas some people are, like, a little bit more strong silent type, and their sort of banter level might be a little more low key and not quite so much talking all the time. Because I think you and I are, like,
talkers.
I think you might be right. Yeah. So I think you can find your banter match no matter what kind of person you are. Even if, like, lots of, like, talking isn't really your thing, you can find a woman who, like, is on your level with that. But I do think that as far as dates and being a good date and kind of flexing that muscle, it can certainly be improved upon the more you do it. The more you talk to strangers, the more you engage on dates and all this stuff, it gets easier and you sort of learn to adapt.
I agree with that. I think putting yourself out there is
P-Y-O-T.
P-Y-O-T. So important.
Yeah.
I agree. I think to be interesting, you have to be interested.
Yep.
And so ask her questions.
Yep.
If she says something, build on it. Don't just say, you know, if it's, how's your day? It was good. I, whatever, had a meeting. Don't be like, cool, so what are you doing tomorrow? Be like, what was the meeting about?
Exactly.
Like, don't use that as an example, but
I think I wrote this in one of the articles that I wrote for Style Girlfriend, like, it was, like, first date tips or something, and one of them was, like, a very simple tip, but it's the follow-up question. So asking one question, easy, but when you listen and then ask the question that builds off of, like you just said, it really makes all the difference, and that's how a great conversation builds.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
I've taken, like, one improv class.
Okay.
Oh, my God. But, like, they talk a lot about, like, being in the moment, and being in the moment is more important than, like, trying to be funny. And, like, it's this idea of, like, you just need to be there and the funny parts will come. And
sure.
I totally believe that. I think that really applies to banter. I think you can find a way to be funny, but you have to be present. Like, you're
like,
trying to make, like, a bada-bing kind of joke. It's, like,
you gotta walk before you can run. You cannot come in hot trying to be funny if you can't listen and engage. Like, that will read so wrong.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Me too.
Okay.
Taylor, what's your hot take?
Woo! Okay. My hot take, you guys, is sort of building off the Olympics come down, because guess what? I'm still not over it, and I'm going to keep talking about the Olympics until the end of time, because I love them so much.
Or until the next Olympics.
Until the next Olympics. Hi, see you in 2020 Tokyo. Okay, my hot take is that, so basically to set this up, I was reading a lot about this ice dancing couple from Canada, Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer.
Is this the one that's like, they say they're not a couple, but everyone's
yes.
like, you touch way too sensually to not be a couple.
Yeah.
Like,
drama. Drama. So everybody loves this. They've been skating together for like 20 years. It's a whole thing. And I was reading up on it, like the curious cat that I am. When the Olympics come around, I have to read all the info. And I kept reading all these articles from The Cut and from a few other places that are all women's focused media, and they keep using the word horny. Horny, horned up, horn, all, like, just over and over and over. And I, like, Megan's, like, cringing because it's such a funny word. It's such a guy word. It's so...
Yeah.
It's such a guy word. And all these women's publications were using it to talk about this couple, like, being, like, talking about, like, being, like, horned up, this and that. And then this podcast that I listened to, one of the hosts described Michael B. Jordan in Black Panther being like, I couldn't focus because I was too horned up.
So they're not saying horny, they're saying horned up. Is this some new variation?
Both. Horned up.
You're just starting to want to say horny.
Horny, 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 horny. And now I'm trying to get more comfortable with it because I, for some reason, reading it in that context, I was like, maybe we need to take back horny. So my hot take is, what do you guys think about the use of the word horny? Like, is it kind of gross? Is it sort of silly? Can you use it in any context that doesn't make it sound kind of gross? Like, I would never talk about, I would never come to your house and be like, you're already grossed out. Like, if I were to come over and, like, sipping my coffee, like, how's your day? Like, Megan's like, how's it going? Like, how are you feeling? I'm like, I have to be honest with you, I am super horny. I would literally never do that.
I don't know if it's, I mean.
Well, also because that's not, so I don't need to, like.
It's such a silly word.
It's not silly.
It is so silly. Maybe because it's so silly, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. But I feel like people were just sort of, like, having such fun with it in all these articles, and it really, like, stuck with me. I just think it's so funny.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Wow. This is really cracking me open here.
Thirst. Use thirst. Yeah.
But well, I feel like thirsty is
different.
Derogatory, because it kind of implies that you're, like, not gonna get what you want. Like, you already don't have it.
To me, thirsty reads desperate.
Thirsty reads desperate, right?
Horny is a state of being.
Yes.
Thirsty.
And it suggests that you can do something about it. Horny is like a preemptive state. Thirsty is like you're already past what you want and need.
Yeah.
And you didn't get it.
And you're about to set your thirst trap with your like sexy gram photo or whatever.
Being like horned up is like a anticipatory state. And thirsty is like a dejected like, okay, yeah. Actually, now the more I'm thinking about this, I kind of like the idea of it. I don't think I could ever say it. I just don't think I'm that person.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of reframing, like, thirstiness or, like, wanting, like, sexually wanting someone as, like, yeah, like, horned up with them. Because it's kind of, like, a more joyful state.
Yeah, and I think it's just sort of, like, it's kind of primal and kind of natural. And you're just sort of, like, whatever, this is how I feel. You know what I used to say?
Tell
and
me.
And sometimes do still say, like, whenever, is, I'm not kind of embarrassed, I don't want to say it, but I've come this far and now I have to say it.
Yeah, we're here now.
Is that if you're feeling twirly.
Ooh!
What do you think?
Oh, I love that. Like, they make you feel twirly.
Yeah.
On the inside.
Yeah. So, like, if I'm texting with someone and, like, or whatever, it just comes up, like, and I think that's just a little bit more gentle and more sort of, like, chit-chatty way to be like, okay, like, I want to get some, like, I want to go out, I want to make out, like,
yeah.
Feeling twirly.
Yes.
Like, or it's sometimes like a weekend vibe. Like, if I'm like, okay, like, what's up this weekend? I'm feeling kind of twirly. It means I want to go out. I want to meet some guys. I want to flirt. So twirly has a more all-encompassing, whereas I feel like horny is like, that's just simple below the belt state of being.
Yes. I like it.
Hot take.
Hot take. All right. So B before D.
Yep. B before D.
And twirly, not horny.
Yep.
Twirly and horny.
Twirly and horny.
Not because, thirsty.
Yeah. Never thirsty. Always hydrated. And, you know, go out there and get horned up, folks.
All right. That's it for this episode. I'm Megan Collins, Style Girlfriend. This is Taylor Davies. If you liked this, let us know. We are actually trying to figure out a way to take your questions.
Yeah.
Because I think that'd be really fun.
Yeah, I think we need, like, an inbox, like,
yes.
AskSG@stylegirlfriend.com or something.
Yes.
It could be.
Yeah, don't email that, because that's not a real.
No, it doesn't exist yet.
Nope. But once we figure it out, we'll let you know. So, want to share it with your friends and be like, these girls are just talking about being horny all the time. That's totally fine. We're really good with false advertising, so, like, if people think that's what they're getting themselves into, you know, let
do
us
it.
Stay
for honestly, catfish everyone into listening to this podcast.
It's true.
Turtlenecks, blouses, horned up, twirled up, banter, hot takes.
It's kind of long for a catchphrase, but we're working on
it.
Yeah. All right, guys, thanks so much.
What can you ask? Soon. Yeah, you can ask.
Sorry, you have to ring
your can we forget?
Thank you. I'm going to just give a clean cut to that. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. Rate and review us on iTunes, except we're not on iTunes, we're on Anchor.
We might be by the time this goes up.
Yeah.
All right. This is a really messy outro.
Bye.
Bye.
podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.